Amen. Amen. Now, our text this afternoon is the verses 13 and 14 of Matthew 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There are many times in the courses of our lives that we are faced with decisions that we have to make, and very often there can be a decision between one of two things. We either do this or we do that. We either go that way or we go this way, and we are faced with either or decisions that could have a profound influence and impact upon our lives, decisions in which we are faced with a choice between two. And while there may be times that we'll want to shy away from making such a bold choice, yet there are occasions that we must face them and make our choice and live with the consequences. Well, the same is true certainly in the spiritual realm. And this passage in Matthew 7 confronts us with some of the choices that we have to make. The Lord Jesus lays before his audience there here in the Sermon on the Mount with certain choices that confront each and every one of us as we live our lives in this world. And these are choices that we must make, and they are the most important choices that you will ever make. And what you do when you're confronted with these choices will determine not only how you live your life, but will determine how you die, and ultimately determine where you spend eternity. Now, I'm not here today to twist your arm up your back and force you into making a choice today, but I will have you know that you will have to make a decision based upon these things that the Lord Jesus sets before us. And I want you to consider your response to these particular choices. Consider your response in the light of your own life, in the light of eternity, in the light of God's word. And so I want to bring your attention to these decisions that must be made, one or the other, because ultimately we find in this passage there are only two directions, two destinations, two decisions. Now let me point out what I'm talking about here. You'll notice that it reads in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. As I read this passage, it's brought to our attention that there are only two ways through this life. Now, I don't know what you're like, but I don't like getting lost when I'm traveling. And I'm certainly thankful for the introduction in recent years of mobile apps on our phone, where we're able to punch in an address and follow the directions that they give to us in order to bring us to the location that we have in mind. And I say that I'm thankful because I remember back in a time when we had to look up maps and try to follow the road and make sure you took the right turn at the right time. And it's very easy, if your map reading skills weren't that good, to get wildly off course. And that certainly happened to me a number of occasions. One thing that I discovered is that where I ended up had a lot to do with the choices and decisions that I made along the way. Do I take this road or that road? Do I turn left or do I turn right? Do I keep going on or do I turn back? One wrong turn, and we could find ourselves very far from where we intended to be. The same analogy holds up in the spiritual sense. Where we wind up in eternity will be determined by the road that we take here upon earth. And it is impossible to take the wrong road and lead to heaven. You cannot take the wrong road and expect to end up in the presence of God. It's impossible to take the heavenly road and end up in hell. So we need to make the right decision and make sure that we are on the right road. And since we are all going to leave this world behind someday, and we know that we're going to live in either heaven or hell after this life on earth is over, it's essential that we know where we are going and how we are going to get there. And so the Saviour tells us that there are two directions, two ways that we can travel. There is the broad way. He says, broad is the way. And the word broad there not only means wide, but it particularly means to be spacious or accommodating. The Lord Jesus says there is a spacious, broad, accommodating road that a person can travel. A road that we might say is wide open. In other words, anything goes as you travel this broad way. You can do anything you like. You can be anyone you want. You can have your fill of all of the sins that you desire. You can live life as you choose. You can make the rules. You can travel this road all the time singing, "I did it my way." You can be as religious as you want to be or as irreligious as you want to be. You can go to church and pray and read your Bible all the time or not at all. This road will accommodate every possible lifestyle you can imagine. You can do as much or as little as you please on this broad way. This broad way encompasses all the religions of this world. You can confess Jesus along this road if you like. When you walk this broad way, you make your own decisions. You do not have to answer to anyone. You can live life as you please, go where you will, do what you will, be what you will. It's your life. This is what the broad way is all about. It's wide. It's accommodating. It's spacious. You can walk on the clean side of the broad road. You can live a moral, upright, good living life. You can be thought of as being an outstanding member of society, a pillar of the community. Or you can go to the other extreme and live as hedonistically as you like and eat and drink for tomorrow we die. This is a broad road. There is, however, a sinister side to the broad way that open-minded pleasure seekers fail to mention to those who travel upon it. And there are some things you need to know about this broad way if you plan on traveling it the rest of your life. And one of the things you need to be aware of is, firstly, you're not really in control. You might think that you are, and others might tell you that you are, that you can do as you want and live as you want, that you're the master of your own destiny, the captain of your own ship, but ultimately you're not in control. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You're carried along in a tide of wickedness, the fulfilling of your own desires. And that sin will ultimately bring you to destruction unless it's dealt with. And those that travel the broad road, they fail to recognize that God offers a better alternative. He offers true peace and joy and assurance of salvation and the promise of heaven. The broad way promises to us a good time on earth. There are multitudes of other things that the Lord gives to those who follow him, but you'll never find one of them while travelling along the broad way, the way that pleases self. In contrast to that, the Lord Jesus speaks of a narrow way. While the broad way is open and easy and accommodating, this other way is called narrow. And it actually refers to oppress, the idea of being constricted, the idea of being distressed and finding difficulty in travelling. It's the exact opposite of the broad way. And the narrow way, you can't do as you want or go as you please. Your sins will have to be left behind because you cannot take them with you. If you try, you'll find that there's not enough room for both you and your sins on this narrow way. It is a restrictive way. When you walk the narrow way, you must choose to leave your sins behind. And instead of going on your way singing, "I did it my way," you have to give up your rights. You have to yield your life unto another. You have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ instead. And instead of doing as you please, you must do the things that please the Lord. You no longer make the rules, you're expected to keep the Lord's rules. Our fleshly bodies will resist the confines of the narrow way. Our sinful nature will rebel against this narrow way. It's too tight, it's too restrictive. You know, anyone who says that living for the Lord is easy has obviously never tried it. That living a separated Christian life that honours the Lord, that it's going to be simple, they've never tried it. It's a battle every day. However, it does bring with it certain benefits that cannot be obtained any other way, because it's a life that honours God, the one who says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." It's a life that brings the blessings of God into our own experience. It offers to us a far better eternity. No one ever said that living for the Lord would be easy, but it's the only way in which to honour him, to be his disciple, to live that life in surrender and devotion and dedication and obedience to the Lord. It's the only life that God has promised to bless. You have a choice to make. Will I seek a life that pleases myself and do whatever I will and travel that broad way in all of its spaciousness? Or will I choose the narrow, restrictive way of pleasing God and not self? You have a decision to make as to which direction you're going to travel, the broad way or the narrow way. Now, to help you make that decision, let me point out something else that the Saviour speaks of. Not only are there two directions, but there are only two destinations. All roads end up somewhere. There was a saying for many, many years that all roads lead to Rome. Well, to some point. But all roads lead somewhere. And so too do the roads that we're considering this afternoon. They go somewhere. They're going to lead us somewhere. And since we're either on one of these roads or the other, don't you want to know where the final destination of both of these roads are? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us, when we enter in at the straight gate, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. The broad way, the accommodating way, leads to destruction. Now, typically, when we think of something being destroyed, we're thinking of it ceasing to exist, of it being annihilated, or being done away with forever. But the word here actually refers to a great loss, a total and an absolute ruin. And here's the truth that the worldling doesn't want you to consider. The broad way leads to hell. Every person that follows this broad way till its end will eventually find themselves in absolute ruin. That has to be the most awful thought that our mind could ever conceive. And what makes it so terrible is the knowledge that many today are blindly and willfully travelling that broad road that leads them to that lost eternity. There are many things about hell that we do not understand. But let me point out some of the things that the Saviour says about that awful place. He says it's a place of unquenchable fire. We read in the scriptures of the smoke of their torments that ascends forever. It's a place of memory and remorse. Saviour tells us in Luke chapter 15 of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man went to hell, and in hell he opened his eyes, being in torment. He calls for Abraham and asks him to send Lazarus with just a drop of water to quench his tongue. You know what Abraham says to him? He says, remember, remember that you in your lifetime had all of these blessings, but never once did you consider the well-being of your soul or where you would spend eternity. Remember that. Those in hell remember. They'll remember every church service they ever attended, every gospel sermon that they ever heard, every word of witness and testimony that was ever presented to them. Their memories that seem so fragile today will be sharp in that day. And they'll remember it all. Place of unquenchable fire. Place of unsatisfied thirst. A place of frustration and anger, where we're told that they gnash their teeth and bite their tongues for pain. Place of unspeakable misery, of eternal separation from God and all that is holy and good. A place where the wrath of God is poured out undiluted upon them forever. Hell is a real place. And not if I were to preach for a week, could I adequately describe the awfulness of that place? I would exhaust the entire vocabulary of the English language in an attempt to paint word pictures that conveyed the awfulness of that place, and my feeble words would never come close to describing the reality of the horror that awaits those that go to the place of the damned. A place from which there is no deliverance. A place to which, if you go, you will be there for all eternity. This is the final destination for those who travel the broad way. There is, however, another destination. Just as the broad way has its destination, the narrow way does too. But this narrow way doesn't end in hell below. It finishes in heaven above. And the Lord Jesus promised that those who would follow him in the way would find that it leads to everlasting life. It doesn't promise a better life here upon earth. The Lord Jesus promises an everlasting, glorious life in the realms of heaven above when this earth is over. And if hell is a place that's filled with horror and pain and separation and suffering, then heaven is the opposite of that. It's a place of joy and rest and peace and beauty and glory and holiness, and everything that hell isn't, heaven is. We get a wonderful glimpse into that glorious place in the book of Revelation. We're told it's a place where there'll be no tears, no pain, no sorrow, no death, no sin, no night, no curse. That we'll be in the presence of God and our Saviour in that glorious city with beauties and glories that go beyond the ability of man to express or comprehend. That eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, and the heart of man, we can't even begin to understand what heaven has for us. Oh, the narrow way, it's costly, and it's restrictive, and it's difficult, and there's a high personal cost for those who travel it. But the destination's worth it. So what if we walk out of step with the rest of the world down here? So what if we're misunderstood? So what if we miss out on some of the things that the rest of the world seems to indulge in and enjoy and say, come and join us? When we get to heaven, the trials of the road will seem so small compared to the glories that await us. And with the past behind us and heaven before us, the glory of God unfolding all around us, we'll be able to say, it was worth it all. It was worth it all to be with Jesus. There are two ways, the broad way and the narrow way, two directions to travel. There are two destinations, a heaven or a hell. And there are only two decisions. And really only one decision. The Savior speaks of a straight gate. And he speaks of a wide gate. The Lord Jesus makes it clear that the road which we travel will be determined by which gate that we go through. If a man makes these decisions, then he decides where he will spend eternity. And just as there are only two ways and two possible destinations, there's only one of two decisions that you can make. There is a wide gate, and really there's no choice to be made here. When a person is born into this world, we're born facing that wide gate, and it's the first thing that we do is that we travel through it. We're born in sin. We inherit the sinful nature of our father Adam. By our human nature, we're born with our feet already planted upon the broad road, and their first steps take us through this wide gate. And even though a little babe knows nothing of sin or the choice to follow sin, yet as they grow, they come to understand the difference between right and wrong. By the time they begin to do those sinful things by choice, by nature, they're already well established on the broad road. It's where human nature takes us to begin with. It's a crowded way. Notice what the Savior says of this broad way, that many go in at that broad gate, that wide gate. Many go in. Many are on their way to that lost eternity. It's a sad, sad reality. But what's really sad about the whole thing is that along the way there are opportunities for them to take a detour off that broad way and to get onto the right track. Every church service, every Christian witness, every gospel song, every sermon, an opportunity to hear God speak to their hearts for the Spirit of God to witness. And yet people miss their turnoff. They ignore the opportunities. They continue headlong with reckless abandon, seemingly unaware and without concern about the welfare of their souls as they travel with haste towards that final destination. And they pass by, as it were, the gate of heaven every day without ever seeing it. Because you see, there is a narrow gate. And that's what the Savior tells us in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, at the narrow gate, the difficult gate. When God calls you to come to him and by faith receive the gift of God, which is eternal life, when he calls you in repentance to turn away from your sinful pursuits and to leave them behind and come to Jesus Christ for cleansing, to come to the straight gate, to go through the door of opportunity, the Lord Jesus Christ, and get on to that narrow way that leads to heaven. do it when he calls. You know, there are some who see the narrow gate and turn away from it because they think the cost is too high. The rich young ruler that came to the Lord Jesus and asked what he must do to inherit eternal life, and the Saviour told him, go and sell all that you have, give your money to the poor and follow me. It's too high a cost for him. Didn't want to do it. He passed by the turn off from the broad road to the narrow way, and he continued on. Come to the straight gate and enter in by it. And you'll find that as you come to it, that it's an open gate. It's a gate that's open for whosoever will may come. And as you go through that gate of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, he promises to you an everlasting life of peace with God, of forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven. There is only one gate. It's an exclusive gate. The Lord Jesus is the gate. There is no other. There is no other Saviour. There's no other redemption. There is no other hope. You must come to God through him, or he will not come at all. And let me remind you, it's a straight gate, a narrow gate. You cannot bring your sins with you. Have you ever tried to get through a turnstile at the airport, pulling three bags of luggage behind you? You'll know that there's no way you're going through with it all. You have to leave your sin behind. You have to be willing to turn your back upon the sins of this world and leave the junk where it is and to go along with Jesus. You're only fooling yourself if you think that you can hold on to the world with one hand and the Saviour with the other. You can't do it. It's a narrow way. It requires that we forsake all and follow him and simply cling to the Saviour. To come, as the hymn writer said, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And let me assure you that no matter what sacrifice you have to make in order to enter in by the straight gate and travel by the narrow way, it will be worth it all. There is no sacrifice too great. So I encourage you in the words of the Saviour this afternoon. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. If the Lord in mercy has illuminated the way before you and has pointed out to you the only hope of salvation in Jesus Christ and is directing you off that broad way that leads to hell to get to the narrow way which leads to heaven and home, then do not miss your turn off. Do not miss that gospel opportunity, because one day God's offers of grace will end, and the Spirit will no longer strive with men, and the door of opportunity be closed, and you find, like Esau, no room for repentance. Do not mistake God's grace and his long suffering as something that you can play with. You must come as God calls, when he calls, or you will not come at all. So enter ye in at the straight gate. Get on to the narrow way. Get on to the heavenly way. And be a follower of Jesus Christ. And learn and know with great assurance that there is no regrets for those who have chosen Christ over the things of this world. No regrets at all. May the Lord speak to us. May call us each and every one to himself and to that saving faith. Amen. Amen. Amen.